The epistle for the third Sunday of Lent is taken from Ephesians chapter 5. Brethren, be followers of God as most dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath delivered himself for us, an oblation and a sacrifice to God, for an odor of sweetness. But fornication, all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not so much as be named among you, as becometh saints, nor obscenity, nor foolish talking, nor scurrility, which is to no purpose, but rather giving of thanks. For know ye this, and understand, that no fornicator, nor unclean, nor covetous person, which is a serving of idols, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the anger of God upon the children of unbelief. But ye not therefore be takers with them, for you were hitherto darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 11. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb spoke, and the multitudes were in admiration at it. But some of them said, "He cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." And others tempting asked of him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and house upon house shall fall. And if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that through Beelzebub I cast out devils. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, doubtless the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his courts, those things which he possesses are in peace. But if a stronger than he come upon him and overcome him, he will take away all his armor wherein he trusteth, and will distribute his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through places without water, seeking rest and not finding. He saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth swept and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and entering in, they dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman from the crowd, lifting up her voice, said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the paps that gave thee suck. But he said, Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Please be seated. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The struggle of Lent becomes more intense in today's Mass as we see. One, St. Paul encourages us to be followers of God, not to follow the wickedness of the world, the darkness that is there. He reminds us of the fact that we must try to get rid of the old man, to put on the new man in Christ. So as I say, this struggle in Lent, we see very clearly in the Gospel account the battle that Christ has with Satan. And so we see that they try to accuse our Lord that he cast out the devils by the power of the devil. So that's why he tries to help them to see that a house divided against itself will never stand. And so it is interesting to see also that our Lord gives us a warning. He that is not with me is against me, he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Many of the spiritual authors will look at this in terms of kind of the lukewarm of heart. Those that are half-hearted in their practice of their faith, that they don't give truly to Almighty God all that they can. But they just give the bare minimum. And so with that, we know the famous quote from the Apocalypse 3:16, "But because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will begin to vomit thee out of my mouth." We see that our Lord has no consideration for the lukewarm. Those, as I say, that are half-hearted in their practice of the faith, those that don't put much of an effort into it. And so that's where we can see then the vice of tepidity. Tepidity, they kind of fall between love or hate. It is this weakness of soul. And so that's where I say in this Sunday of Lent, you can see very clearly the battle that is there. The battle of Lent, the battle of our souls, the battle for our souls. And so if we are lukewarm, if we are tepid in the practice of our faith, we will be overcome. I mean, very clearly we realize it is a battle for the salvation of our soul. And so if we are truly half-hearted, if we don't really put forth the effort that we need to, we will certainly be pulled over to the other side. And so that's where then our Lord gives this example of, one, the battle that is there, trying to show to them that he does it by the finger of God, and that a house divided against itself will never stand. So in some ways you can make that application also with the soul itself. A soul that is divided, it divides its interest between Almighty God and then obviously the world or Satan. That very clearly, that soul will never, in a sense, stand or profess its faith properly because of that weakness that is there. It is that idea of the fence sitter. They can't choose between one side or the other. And so that's why our Lord very clearly shows that the lukewarm he has no concern for then at that point. That he will vomit them out of their mouth because they lack taking a side. And those can be the hardest ones, in a sense, to truly convert. And obviously you can have the ones that are cold in their faith. Completely cold, they don't do anything. There's a better chance to try to bring them and convert them than the ones that think they're doing okay. They do the bare minimum, they do enough, what they consider to get by, and that's it. So then it becomes very difficult for them to see that they need to change the place that they are in. That they do need to try to take a better look at the state of their soul, because they've convinced themselves that they're fine. And so that's why it's very difficult for them. And that's why our Lord is so strong in it. And even in a way, that's why he says, neither hot nor cold, one side or the other, because there's a better chance to bring them along. And so that is the danger for us, to fall into this tepidity. And certainly all of us are liable to have our faults and our weaknesses very clearly because of the weakness of human nature. And so we know that, but for tepidity is something that is different. Because as I say, they are convinced that they're doing okay, they're fine, they don't need to change anything. It is different for a soul that realizes what their weaknesses and faults are, so they try to change. They take advantage of the sacraments, they take advantage of praying. They take advantage of what the church offers, so they're trying to change their lives. So it's a different idea. But for those souls that they are just tepid, lukewarm, it is much more difficult for them to change their ways. St. Francis of Sales tries to give an idea about this tepidity, giving an example. So he says, surely it is one thing to tell a lie now and then in matters of small importance. It's not as he's excusing it, he's just saying, the weakness of human nature. But to show the difference between a tepid soul, that he says, but another to take pleasure in the lying and retaining an affection for this practice. So he's trying to show, okay, if someone slips, they tell a white lie in something of small importance. It's completely different than someone that takes pleasure in the fact of lying, deceiving others. They have an affection for that. That is where there's a complete difference in it. And so he's trying to give the example of this tepid soul. Yes, they can say, oh, it's just small lies. But it's a completely different attitude toward this sin. It's a completely difference in how they are going to try to address it, if they even address it. And so that's where, for the practice of virtue, it's not so much practiced by a tepid soul in a way as it's just tolerated. They put up with it. They don't see the importance in it. Their motive of good conduct is the lowest possible. So as I say, they're the bare minimum. They do just enough to get by. And so for them, there is not that desire to please God. There is not that desire to try to increase their virtues. But they just try to do enough. And it's interesting to see how, in one of the books I was reading, it even talks about the slothfulness of that tepid soul. And it gave an example of that. So it says, for the slothful, for the tepid soul, it said it does not keep them away from Mass on Sundays, but they're always late. And then they're the first ones to leave. And so, yes, they can say, I came to Mass. I fulfilled my duty. I fulfilled my obligation. But there is no desire to increase in their spiritual life. They don't have that true love of God that is illustrated by the actions that they have, by what they try to do with their lives. And so it's something for us just to try to consider, especially, as I say, as we continue on in this time period of Lent. We had the encouragement last Sunday with the Transfiguration of where we need to try to go with our lives. So I think in this Sunday it shows very clearly then the battle that is going to be for our lives, for our souls, of how Satan is going to try to grab and pull your soul away. And it depends on us. How fervent are we? How much love of God do we have that will illustrate in our actions that we have, that we practice in our lives? And so that's where then for the tepid soul, they build their house on sand. It's not a solid foundation. Again, given the idea of building a house using warped lumber, every joint is rickety. Everything is shaky because of it. I mean, that is what a tepid soul does for their spiritual life. That their heart is not in it. They pay lip service to God. They do some of the external things and that's it. There's nothing deep, nothing within them, nothing that comes truly from their soul. And so that's where then our Lord gives this understanding. The last state becomes worse than the first. Yes, they kind of clean out their soul for a little bit, but then they open up the door again to Satan, and what happens? More devils come. And so now, at this point, then the last state becomes worse than when they first had it. Because they're not closing the door to allowing Satan in. Because then again, there is no real desire to increase in the spiritual life. For them, they're content. They're content where they are. So as I say, it's just that lip service that they give to God. It's truly not coming from their hearts, their love of God. And sacred scripture warns us of that in 1 Kings. It says, man seeth those things that appear, but the Lord beholds the heart. So very clearly shows to us that yes, the externals, other people see, maybe other people are impressed by it, but our Lord sees what is truly at the heart of the person. That's what really matters. Is it coming from truly our heart, or is it just the lip service that we give to God? And so that's why it's good for us to consider in this third Sunday to try to look at the state of our soul. And as I say, you have the chance for a confession. Try to put your soul right before the eyes of God. That we take advantage of what we have, of what is offered to us, of how these things are meant to try to help us to live a life that is pleasing to God, to be pleasing to Him. You know, going back to the epistle of St. Paul, the ones that walk in the light of Christ. I mean, that's what really matters for us. I mean, can we say that? Can we look at the state of our soul and saying that we are trying? We're doing the best that we can. And that is what God is asking from our souls. So it's important for us to try to put that into practice during this time period of Lent, yes. We have the opportunities to offer sacrifices, mortifications to God. We can give God so much. But again, how are we spending our time period of Lent? Is it just lip service being paid to God? Or is it truly coming from the heart of what we want to try to give to Almighty God? And that is where the difference will become for us. So that's where Saint Teresa had said, purity of heart is tranquility of the mind. So going back to the idea of a pure intention of giving to God, of offering that to Almighty God. So I encourage you during this time period of Lent, yes, to read over the gospel account and to see how much of a battle it is for our souls, the battle between Christ and Satan. And that we understand that we realize how much Satan wants to try to pull our soul away from God. And so to take advantage of what you have so much in terms of the faith, to put that into practice so that our Lord will not say to us, he that is not with me is against me. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.